Can the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson have one of the biggest turnarounds this upcoming season? Russ revamped. We discuss that and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much to everybody in Broncos country for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day. To get the latest episode as soon as it's available, subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, Broncos reporter from Mile High Sports, joined alongside, as always, by my co-host and good friend, Sarah Bettinger, site expert, predominantlyorange.com. Sarah, as we get deeper into the offseason here, NFL free agency, the big moves have come and gone for the most part. Anything could happen at any moment, but it starts to feel like, okay, Denver is now focusing on moving forward and trying to turn things around here in 2023. One of the bigger keys to them doing that was them bringing in Sean Payton to help Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson is the subject of today's episode of the show. I feel like everything that we've seen from last year, the debacle, just how often he is mentioned, you know, in articles about, you know, this happened. I feel like everything is setting up for the possibility of a revenge tour in 2023.
I really hope it is. Honestly, Cody, I was watching Good Morning Football on Thursday morning, and I thought it was so it's just so crazy to me, right? They're saying, could Aaron Rodgers' first season with the New York Jets be as bad as Russell Wilson's first season with the Broncos? And I'm thinking to myself, man, how many ways could they figure out to manipulate this guy's, you know, I mean, it's crazy to me how negative people are towards Russell Wilson. But look, you're right. If the Broncos are going to turn things around in 2023, it all hinges on this guy. It hinges on number three. It hinges on him being way better than he was in 2022. Nobody's denying that he was bad. It's just kind of the way that people are going about taking digs at Russ that it's kind of crazy, but maybe some added context to his situation from last year. We know he was dealing with a torn lat at one point. We know he was dealing with a quad injury at one point. We also know that he suffered a very scary concussion against the Kansas City Chiefs later in the season. What we didn't know necessarily is that Russ has been dealing with some discomfort in his knee for a few years now. And it sounds like, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, sounds like Russ had an arthroscopic procedure on that right knee to get that cleaned up. And, you know, it's not going to affect his season in terms of like his availability, but it could have a pretty substantial impact on his season if he's fully healthy, if he's able to recover completely, if he's no longer dealing with nagging discomfort.
Well, on top of that, he also had the hamstring injury last year as well. He suffered in the Chargers game. But yeah, I mean, he has a chance to enter this offseason with a clean bill of health. Obviously, in the season, you're going to get hit. You're going to experience times where maybe you might pull something, especially if his game is to involve running. Like, I felt like Russ in certain situations last season did try to take over with his legs in some situations. And, you know, it's a lot of wear and tear. He took a lot of hits. I mean, he was sacked 55 times. I mean, that right there is going to add up. And Sarah, how many times, like outside of sacks, how many times have we seen an instant replay where he just throws the ball, gets blasted? Like, he had to be one of the most hit quarterbacks in the NFL last year. And I even mentioned it on the show, I think a couple weeks ago, I was kind of glad that maybe he was at the playing weight that he was at last year, the size, because I can't imagine like a smaller frame of him taking that amount of contact, that amount of punishment. I do know one thing, Sean Payton is going to build this offense to where he doesn't necessarily have to do that. It's all about protection right on the offensive line. You go out and you invest in the trenches, Ben Powers, Mike McGlinchey. You have Quinn Meinerz. You have Garrett Bowles coming back. Things ideally on paper look better right now than they were last year. But I also think all the narratives, all the, as you mentioned, the media shows like Good Morning Football, the Kyle Brandts of the world who consistently mention Russell Wilson at any point that they can get a dig in. I hope Russell Wilson, right? We know he has a social media team. I hope Russell Wilson takes note, screen grabs, records a lot of these things that are being said about him. And if he goes off this season, I hope he drops like a oh, you know, hey, you thought I was gone? Like, here we go. I'm back. You know, this is setting up to be, I think, a very interesting season for the Broncos. While everybody's excited about Sean Payton, I think the real story will be, can Russell Wilson rebound in 2023 in a big way? I think when you look at the pieces around him, there's still probably some more moves to be made. But, I mean, it looks a little bit better right now on paper than it did last year, considering some of the guys coming back to the fray here for them. To me, I think everything, the storyline sets up really, really nicely for Denver.
It really does, Cody, to have those added chips on your shoulder. I mean, we know that Russ is very intrinsically motivated. We heard even, I don't know if everybody saw this, it'd be worth going and looking it up to listen to the video, but Ryan Leaf, you know, he actually made a Twitter video talking about a mentor in Russell Wilson's life that he lost tragically couple years ago. So he was without one of his great mentors for the entire 2022 season, the first season that he didn't have this guy, a coach that, you know, he had in his personal life that was helping him with his, just, you know, that mental frame of mind that Russell Wilson has that a lot of people say is corny and cheesy. And a lot of times it is, but look, there's a difference between people in that type of profession who are, you know, they're all about being, you know, motivated. It's like, what motivates you? Well, Russ doesn't need to be necessarily motivated, right? Russell Wilson is the type of guy who is very disciplined, very driven. He obviously works extremely hard at what he does, but, you know, motivation can come from all sorts of different places, right? And really, when you're intrinsically motivated, Cody, to me, that means that you're more so disciplined than anything. But it was kind of interesting to hear this video clip from Ryan Leaf, which, again, I encourage everybody listening to go and find that clip on Twitter circulating. Just give a search to Ryan Leaf, Russell Wilson, or something like that, and see if it pops up. But when you lose somebody like that in your corner, somebody who's been a big part of your life, right? It can have a substantial impact on your day to day. You never know what that's going to do for somebody. So I think for Russell Wilson, just really resetting, he's now got a year under his belt in Denver. He now understands the renewed pressure. Like, it's no longer a, hey, this could be the next Peyton Manning in Denver. You know, it's more so like, all right, the pressure is on for you to prove that you are who you say you are, you know? And so I think now Russ has that combination of being intrinsically motivated or disciplined. Plus, now you have all this outside motivation to be like, you're right, Cody. He does hear this stuff. He understands that people are saying this stuff. And I can't wait to see that mixtape, you know, of his revenge tour that starts off with what he said on the air after that Los Angeles Chargers game. Remember, I don't know the exact, you know, speech that he made off the top of my head, but man, that's going to be the overlay for whatever this season is going to bring for Russell Wilson. If he's going to return to that player that he's capable of being, that we all know he is, that clutch playmaker who just torched teams for 10 years, the winningest record for any quarterback in his first 10 years ever. That doesn't just happen because you have a great defense or a great running game, or it's a team sport, but man, Russ was the common denominator for 10 years there in Seattle. So Cody, I think the revenge tour is going to be awesome to watch. The chip on his shoulder is definitely big.
As Russell Wilson goes, so goes the Broncos offense. That is the hope here this upcoming season. But what are some of the other elements that will help make the Broncos offense and Russ perform even better next season? You'll get that on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. This episode of the show is brought to you by our friends over there at Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here, and we know that you have a favorite bar or puff, and now is the time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will receive a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered directly to your door every single month. You've got to try Built. It's the best protein bar out there ever. And what makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they are high in protein, low in sugar, covered in 100% real chocolate. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. How will the Denver Broncos offense experience a turnaround with Russell Wilson next season? Sean Payton is the ultimate ingredient, but there are some other elements that you have to add to the recipe in order for Russ to cook. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day. Every single day, we appreciate you so much. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, comment on the video as well, interact with other members in Broncos country. Thank you so much. So with that said, the Broncos offense, they're hoping to experience a turnaround this upcoming season, right? We talked about Russell Wilson. Everything may be setting up here for a revenge tour. Can he get back to playing at the elite level? We all know that he can. He's demonstrated flashes of it. We've seen the bits and pieces of it through last season in a dysfunctional offense. Outside of that, you have a new head coach coming in, Sean Payton, who is going to build an offense who he has said around Russell Wilson's greatest hits, right? The playlist that he's going to encompass. But what do? You have to sprinkle in some ingredients here and there. It's a strong running game. It's going through and it's rebuilding the offensive line. Denver didn't necessarily rebuild the offensive line just so they could protect Russell Wilson. They rebuilt the offensive line so they could get a strong run game going. These are the parts and the pieces that aren't being talked about enough, Sarah, as it pertains to the Broncos offense turning things around. While Russ has to play better, everything around him has to be better as well.
It does, and I think that starts first and foremost with coaching, right? We saw the debacle that was the 2022 season, and I think as much as, you know, blame could be spread around to the players and the coaches alike, I think a lot of it starts with the coaching staff. And I don't know, when you're looking through all these lists, Cody, right now, this is the time of year, the time of the offseason for lists. You know, who's winning free agency? Who's winning the offseason? Who's losing the offseason? I really think that the Denver Broncos need to be on pretty much everybody's winner list because of the Sean Payton acquisition, right? And bringing him in is no small deal. He is going to change every detail of this team. And I think that you talk about, okay, players have the stat like wins above replacement, right? And I think that goes for pretty much every sport where you can kind of look that up to see how much better teams are with or without certain guys. I think Sean Payton is one of the most valuable people in the NFL. If you could even really quantify that stat with him, I mean, he was with the New Orleans Saints for 16 years, coached for 15, obviously was suspended for a year. But over that time, over a 17-game span, he averaged 11 wins per 17 games as an NFL head coach. Like, that kind of success is not minimal. That kind of success can't be diminished by saying, well, he only won one Super Bowl, as if that's even a bad thing. I think it's so hilarious to me that people talk like that. But Sean Payton, I think, when we're talking about a turnaround for this Broncos season, he is the number one reason why this team is going to be much, much better in 2023.
I mean, he's going to come in and instill, like, it's going to be a demand, right? Discipline. In order to change the culture, things have to change. Your mindset has to change. The way you thought about things previously has to change as a player. And I can tell you, that's always like the hardest part, right? You know, we hear the word, and I think we've mentioned it here in the last, what, 5-6 years on this podcast. We've mentioned the word culture change, and it takes time. But, you know, there's so many different things that go into a culture change, not only in terms of just like the on-field product, right? It's about how close are you in the locker room? What is your bond like with your teammates? Is there any divisiveness? Like, there's going to be disagreements from players, you know, that are on the same exact team. But for the most part, it's like, okay, heat of the moment. At the end of the day, you have disagreements, you talk it out, and you move on from it. It's not stuff that festers and builds up. That doesn't sound like anything that's in Sean Payton's repertoire, right? Talking to Emmanuel Sanders, in Phoenix this past, you know, back in February at the Super Bowl, he told me, he said, the way that guys play for Sean Payton, he said, it's evident in his coaching style. He's going to be hard on you. He's going to push you, but he's also going to bring you all together because it's all about the reward, right? And I think if you've ever seen that movie with Kevin James, when he was suspended for the whole year due to the bounty gate, I mean, you don't get a real glimpse into it, but at the end of the day, I think he realizes it's important. Like, it's, you know, you have to win. The NFL, it's all about winning, but it's also about the experience because at the end of the day, like, careers are going to be over at one point for many of these guys, including Sean Payton. And what do you want to be remembered as? And I think for Sean Payton, that's important to him is to set the standard. Hey, we want to win games. That is our number one goal, but we can't do it if we have individualism. We can't do it if it's a divided locker room. So he's going to do things that bring the locker room together. It's not just about, hey, I'm going to rule with an iron fist. It's my way or the highway. There's going to be parts of that, but it's going to be inclusive in nature. There's going to be things that they do that I think preserve that. And I think as you and I have mentioned here on the show, I look at that locker room. I've been in that locker room every day last season, Sarah, through all the ups and downs that was going on. The thing that stands out to me is just how close these guys are, right? You have good guys in that locker room with Russell Wilson, who is a good leader, who players, offensive players I've spoken to have said, hey, he's a great leader. He's consistent. He leads by example. And you look at guys like Justin Simmons. Tim Patrick has taken on such a massive underrated role inside that locker room because guys rally around him. They love Tim Patrick. And when he went down, you could just tell. The moment that happened, everybody on the team was like, they were just doom and gloom in a sense. Like they were hanging their heads like, wow, like this really just sucked the wind out of our sails here in terms of maybe how we're feeling because Tim is a guy that they value and respect so much. He's got a strong voice in that locker room. Contrary to the narratives that people believe about Jerry Jeudy, he's also somebody that people love in that locker room. They got a lot of guys who have leadership qualities. Josie Jewell being one of them. Alex Singleton being another. Leadership is not an issue. So I think when you have a locker room with guys like that who can lead and hold other players accountable themselves, when you bring that into a new vibe with a new coach like Sean Payton, who wants that, who wants his coaches to hold players accountable, he's going to hold his coaches accountable. He's going to hold himself accountable, which that word is also traumatic to Broncos country because that's all we heard last year is it's all about accountability. It starts with me. You're not going to get that with Sean Payton. You're going to see what accountability is there. To me, that's how you turn things around. That's how you change the culture. That's how you build a locker room. Sean Payton has all these things here.
And I think we're really going to find out with exactly what you just said. We're going to find out. Remember when George Payton was hired in 2021 as the general manager? Remember he called the Broncos a sleeping giant. I think we're really going to find out whether or not this team was a sleeping giant, right? I mean, before things start to kind of get blown up a little bit, because we have seen some continuity on the roster since Payton got there. We've seen him put his stamp on the team. We've heard things like this Broncos team is a quarterback away. And clearly that wasn't exactly the case as of last season, right? So now with Sean Payton in place, we're going to find out, were the Broncos really, you know, just competent coaching and a quarterback away from being the sleeping giant like we've been hoping for and talking about? I think that's going to be the interesting thing to see, because really you're right. There's so much leadership in the locker room from these strong personalities, the players who, you know, they do their jobs well individually. Now you got a coaching staff that hopefully they're going to be able to come in, bring all these guys together and really get everybody united and get that losing taste out of everybody's mouth, right? Just like I think Draymond Jones was the one who talked about this. Just like winning is a habit, you know, honestly, losing can become habitual as well. You just kind of get used to it. And I think that that's something that the Broncos, they got to break that curse. They got to break free from those chains, right? And they got to get out of that mindset and mentality that they're never going to be better than the Chiefs. And I'm not saying that they think that way, because they're NFL players and coaches, right? Nobody really thinks that way. But man, that is a big hurdle to get over, like to be able to get past the Chiefs. You've shown that you can beat the Chargers. You can't, I mean, over the last few years though, Cody, they haven't even been able to beat the Raiders, even with Josh McDaniels and the mess that he's kind of created there. So I think this Broncos team has a ton of hurdles to get over. It's now going to be on the coaching staff and the players to truly show that, hey, we are that sleeping giant that people have been talking about for the last couple years.
They've shown that they can compete, but can they beat? That is the question as pertains to the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders. Denver can compete, but can they beat them? This is going to be a big goal, I think, for everybody in Broncos country as it pertains to Sean Payton. I imagine for Sean Payton, that's one of the goals as well. Got to find a way to beat the Chiefs. Got to find a way to, you know, to beat the streak and to maintain, win the division. I know that the Win the West t-shirts, you know, and the mantra on the thing was like, okay, you know, you got to crawl before you walk there. Sean Payton, I think, will be the baby steps that will help get them to that with how he coaches. And hopefully that is the transition here this upcoming season. But Broncos country, the defense is under new management here in 2023. How might that impact the perception or even the performance of the unit that had success last season, that had success for the past three seasons? Will it take a step back? Will they be able to elevate even further? We'll dive into that on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. This episode of the show is brought to you by our friends over there at FanDuel, and the tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if you're first first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained in a game. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With Vance Joseph coming in as the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton, the Broncos defense is under new management after being a bright spot for the team for the last six, seven seasons, maybe even eight at this point here. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day every single day on your favorite audio podcasting platform or whether you watch on YouTube. We're grateful for you taking time out of your day to listen or to watch us break down all things Denver Broncos. Sarah, we've talked about the offense turning around, revamping it a little bit. There's been some conversation in Broncos country. I know we see several comments on their YouTube page. We get some tweets from time to time. I see it in different things like Reddit. A lot of Broncos fans, I think, are anxious about Vance Joseph coming in as DC, which we've talked about, right? But they're also, I think, more anxious that the defense takes a step back under new management. But for me, and knowing what Sean Payton has said, it doesn't seem like he's going to allow necessarily that unit to take a step back, but that he has high expectations that they can continue to play at the same rate in which they did, which is why he hired Vance Joseph, which in the eyes of many is like, huh, I wonder why. Because he alluded to it at the NFL Scouted Combine. He said, you know, Vance did a terrific job in Arizona despite some of the circumstances that were going on there. I was like, oh, what does he mean by that? Like, what was really going on? Apparently, there's a bunch of stuff behind the scenes that nobody knows about. You know, unfortunately, Hard Knocks would not reveal that stuff because you have to protect certain people, apparently. But with that said, I mean, can the Broncos defense maintain their high level of play under Vance Joseph? Is it scheme or is it play caller?
I think it's going to be one of the most interesting storylines to follow throughout the 2023 season. Can they really keep up, you know, from Vic Fangio to Ejiro Evero, now to Vance Joseph? The pressure is on, right? Vic Fangio had a top 10 defense. Ejiro Evero had a top 10 defense. I think now Vance Joseph coming in, you obviously lose a big piece like Draymond Jones, but you bring in somebody that you know, like Zach Allen. You bring back Alex Singleton coming off a big season. You got Damari Mathis on the rise. I just think these pieces that are in place, like, what does it mean for the Broncos to take a step back defensively? Well, I'm going to explain what I think it means, Cody, much, much deeper, I think, than just, they're going to go from being a top 10 defense to being a top 15 defense or a top 20 defense. I think taking a step back for the Denver Broncos defense in 2023 has very little to do with statistical production in terms of yards allowed or even points allowed. What I think it has to do with is the responsibility and the weight that they bear on their shoulders, right? And how much of the weight has the defense taken on since you could go all the way back to 2015, the Super Bowl season. It's been all defense for the Denver Broncos, even as bad as they have been, as embarrassing as they have been offensively. I mean, even last year is a great example, right? How many one-score games were the Denver Broncos in because they had such a good defense? Even if it was, you know, early on in the year where you're, what was it, 11-10 against the 49ers or something crazy like that, like 12-9 against the Texans. I don't remember the exact scores off the top of my head, but you get what I'm saying. This Denver Broncos defense has taken on way too much weight. They've been the only path to victory for this Broncos team. If the defense, there's been, how many games have we seen on Twitter where people are like, hey, if the defense doesn't score, the Broncos probably lose this game. And how many times has that been true? And quite frankly, they haven't scored that much over the last couple seasons. The defense hasn't. But that's not to say, all that to say, to take a step back for the defense this year, to me, means that they take a little bit of that pressure off of their shoulders to say, hey, you guys can make a couple mistakes throughout the game. You can take a few extra risks in terms of sending blitzers or trying to get after the quarterback or trying to jump a route or something like that. You can take those risks because we don't necessarily need you to only allow 15 or 16 points a game. We can score, crazy enough, we may be able to score 23, 24 points on a given week. That's where I think the Denver Broncos defense could take a step back in 2023, Cody, is not in terms of just statistical production, which they may, but way more in terms of, hey, we don't need you to be as dominant in order to win any particular game.
We know they have the talent defensively. That's not a question. I think for me looking at it as well, another way that it can offset a little bit is how many times have we seen the Broncos defense get a stop or get the ball back and then within a minute, 2 minutes, back around the field because the offense goes threes and out. You know, they turn it over on maybe the first or the second play there. They have to have a formula, and this is really where having an offensive identity comes in handy. If Denver's offense can maintain and control the time of possession, run the football effectively, move the chains, you know, and not just go three and out consistently the way that they have for, I mean, it feels like the last 5-6 years where it's just three and out is like the story of the Denver Broncos. Then you don't have to have your defense on the field as long, right? Because I think as we saw as the season wore on, more guys, you know, defense had more reps, more on-field reps than anybody on the offensive side of the ball in comparison and totality from week one to the end of the regular season. When you have that happen, more wear and tear on the defensive side of the ball. So can you find balance to where the offense is taking care of it when they have the ball, they're maintaining drives, and even if a drive ends in a field goal, but it takes, let's say, 9-10 minutes off the clock, that's good for your defense because your defense stays fresh, they're not gassed, and maybe you get an opportunity to maximize your reps with guys. I think being on the field for a high volume of plays like the defense was last season, I think at the end of the year, it impacted them negatively, but yet they still found ways to make plays in big moments when they needed to. So for me, it's about balance. It's about give and take. Can they do that? I think that's what Sean Payton is trying to instill in this football team this season. Broncos country, we are eager for your thoughts on this episode here today. We talked about a potential revenge tour, not only just for Russell Wilson, the Broncos offense, but for the Denver Broncos in general this upcoming season after Mile High Expectations crashed and burned last year. Can they find their footing here this upcoming season? Let us know your thoughts in the YouTube comments, or if you're listening on your favorite audio podcasting platform, tweet us on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Locked On Broncos. But that'll wrap up today's episode of the show. Just a reminder, Broncos country, if you want access to the most readily available episode of the show, anytime we do it, it'll be made available here on YouTube and your favorite audio podcasting platform. So make sure you subscribe or follow for free on your favorite provider. Sarah and myself will be back on Monday for a brand new episode of the show. Enjoy your weekend, Broncos country.